Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Close Up Talk Radio, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing, important, and interesting individuals from the worlds of business, industry, travel, art, and entertainment. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the technical wizards behind the scenes who create the magic that make their company's products and services so special. Here is your opportunity to hear firsthand the fascinating stories of how it all happened from those who actually made it possible. This is Close Up Talk Radio. Well, we welcome you back to CUTV News Radio. Hello, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Nice to be here with you. Nice to have you with us. And I think you're going to find this a fascinating show to listen to, one of my favorite subjects to deal with. We're going to have, as our guest, a certified psychic and medium. And, you know, people who do this, who have the abilities to do this, I find to be absolutely, totally fascinating. The lady we're about to meet is in Reno, Nevada. Her name is Samantha Fay, and she has an extraordinary story to tell. But as she put it, she was getting a degree in psychology, and then she joined a clairvoyant program and found that program so absolutely fascinating it made her psychology degree look like recess. At least that's the way she put it. You know, the psychics, they're magic. They can do so much, and they're so amazing, and the ability that they have is, I find, a bit amazing, and I'm sure those of you who've listened to psychics before, who've read anything about this, will agree. It's an amazing subject to deal with. So I'm not going to waste a lot of time giving you a whole introduction to her. I'm going to bring Samantha on, and let's talk about her life, how she got into this, and recognized her abilities, and how she uses them. And she uses them now, by the way, to help people. She has a fabulous website. I'll give you that web address in just a couple of minutes. By the way, it's her own name, SamanthaFay.com, so there you have it, but I'll spell it for you. In any event, right now, it's early morning out in Reno, Nevada, so let's say good morning to Samantha Fay, F-E is how it's spelled. How are you, Samantha? It's a delight to have you with us today. I'm looking forward to this.
Thank you. I've been thrilled and looking forward to it myself as well. Thank you for having me.
Okay, there are a lot of people who don't understand how psychics, number one, how they, you know, how they recognize the abilities that they have and how they have developed that. I'm just wondering if you could give us all a little bit of your story and how you got into this field, because you do. You help people a lot now, and if anybody's listening were to look at your website, there are tons of testimonials on there about how you've been able to help folks. So we'll get into that a little bit later and find out what kind of situations people have that come to you for help. But bottom line is, let's get into your own story and develop how you came to be a psychic who is now out there helping other people. Tell me a little bit about you, your background.
Wonderful. Thank you for asking. As I was growing up, my mother has the ability as well. And so she was doing her own clairvoyant training when I was a young girl. And so I was introduced to it, although she didn't really run with it. She didn't make a career out of it. But I was introduced to it. And I also had some very frightening experiences as a child. Some might relate to that experience of feeling the presence of something in your room. I did often and oftentimes couldn't sleep and had no idea that what I was feeling was actually real until I looked back at it. And in some of those circumstances, I was severely punished for speaking up and saying that I couldn't go to sleep or throwing a tantrum because I was young and just absolutely terrified. And so there were some experiences in my childhood that actually turned my gifts off. I learned unconsciously that if I was to speak out about them, that it would get me in trouble. So they started to lessen and lessen. And then when I was about 12 years old, I was having a reading done for me, and I regressed to my own past life. I saw the people that were in my life now. I could smell the scent of the salt water. I was standing on a dock. I could feel everything. Like, it was such a visceral memory that it shook me a little bit. I was raised loosely in the Presbyterian Christian church, but had that sort of Christian foundation. And so to experience my own past life really kind of turned everything that I had learned upside down and started to shake it out a little bit. And I had no explanation. So it terrified me. By the time I got to the age of being able to go out on my own or experience life on my own with friends in high school, for me, my choice was to drink. I chose to make it go away, to numb it, to lessen the effects of it. Around 13, 14, 15 is when it really starts to wake up in young girls that have the ability. And so that's when, for me, it was too strange for me to be in high school. It was too strange for me to talk to my friends. I was too sensitive, really. And so for me, that was my choice, to choose alcohol, to make it go away. And so by the time I got through my psychology degree, and there's all sorts of reasons for that as well, I don't know that we have time to get into today.
Let me ask you a question first. Let me interrupt you a minute.
Yeah, please do.
When you said you were 12, the age of 12, you had a reading. I mean, very few youngsters of that age have readings. Is it because your mother had this ability that got you interested in having a reading at that age, that early age?
Yes.
Well, I'm just wondering, what prompted you to do that? And how did that reading affect you? Do you recall?
I do. It was definitely a pivotal moment or experience for me. So at that time was when my mother was doing her clairvoyant program, and so I was visiting her for the weekend, and she just asked to do a reading on me so that she could practice. And so she practiced with me. I had this experience of going back, and then there wasn't a whole lot of explanation of what had happened, other than to just, you know, kind of, I don't know, support me in what I had experienced. And so that's where, for me, having the foundation of what I knew in my upbringing of the Christian idea of God and life, and there's not a lot of room for past lives in that doctrine. And so it shook me. It shook the foundation of what I believed to be true. And that's when I started to question everything more, what was it that I believed to be true. And I still do. I question everything now, and I test the boundaries, and I like validation, and I like proof, and I'm a very analytical psychic, really, when it comes down to it.
What did you learn? What did you learn in that reading that shook your foundation so much? I mean, and it's interesting that it was your mother doing it. What did she tell you? Do you remember?
It wasn't what she told me by any means. It was the experience that I had of going back to my own past life. What I learned from it is that not everything is as it seems. And that sounds like such a cliche line, but it truly isn't. And if there's anything that I've learned from that experience that I still learn, is every experience that I have or everything somebody tells me, I like to validate it with my own personal experience. If I haven't personally experienced it or have allowed myself to be open to experience it from another person's point of view, which is an ability that I have, it allows me to see more possibilities and more openness and more limitless expansion of what is. To believe in one way is such a small way to see the universe. The universe is so broad that I think that one experience is what really just started to crack the surface of what is possible and what is here on this planet and what we can access within ourselves.
I was just trying to get an idea of what you heard. You're telling me the impact of it, which I can appreciate. I've talked to other people, you know, who've had past life regressions, and they found out, you know, they did thus and such. They had a life as, you know, something 400 years ago or 800 years ago or whatever, and they're kind of amazed. And I just wondered if that was the kind of thing you had at the age of 12, which kind of would really shake you, I presume. Anyway,
you know.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, for me, at this point, I've seen and experienced so many of my past lives, and I've seen so many of others. I've done so many readings that for me, it's a lot less about the story of what happened in that lifetime rather than that we have existed before, and then also looking at the present time and then to see that we also exist in the future. And so that is more of what I focus on rather than the story of the past life, although they do offer great insight and memories.
Okay. I can appreciate that. That's good enough. I find that subject totally fascinating, though, the past life issue. And do you do that with people today in helping them? Do you do past life regression readings?
Absolutely.
You do?
Absolutely, yes.
I could go into that in depth, but let's continue your story because it's really fascinating. So in any event, you did go to college, you were getting a degree in psychology, and what happened at that point? You were about to graduate when you got involved in this clairvoyant program, right?
I did. At that point, I was still having fun. I had just gotten done working at a winery, so I was still drinking. I found Bikram yoga, which is yoga that's extremely hot. That was what helped me to find more clarity in myself. And there was just this internal drive. There was this internal tick that I just kept feeling, that kept grasping for something more. Like, there's got to be more to life. There's got to be more to this experience than what I am experiencing. And that's when I found myself at a psychic fair, just getting like a 10-minute reading. And the second I went in there and experienced it, I was hooked. And knew that I wanted to be a part of it. So I started with meditation classes. I started with a healing class, learning to heal and work with energy. And then it wasn't until I graduated where I kind of met the decision, okay, do I go to grad school and get my master's in psychology, or do I go and get this clairvoyant training program, which is a whole nother commitment. I mean, it was 5 days a week. It was a full experience of school in and of itself. And what I learned is that with the American Psychological Association, they don't accept the line of work that is psychic and medium phenomena. It's very woo-woo in the technological psychology department. And so, and that for me is what was true to me. It was like that was the way that I could answer my questions. And if I wanted to, I could always go back and get my master's. But for me, this was understanding my abilities and understanding how they work was by far the most important piece for me to experience. I chose the clairvoyant program, and you're right, it did make my psychology degree look like recess. I felt like with psychology, they focus a lot on mind and body, and they focus a lot on the trauma that has happened in this lifetime or fears that happened in this lifetime. And they completely left out like this whole spirit side. And I was at Sonoma State, so I was in Northern California, and there was a lot of permission to talk about it. However, it was still very woo-woo. And so it didn't feel right for me. It was like leaving out this whole component of life that offers so many answers to so many questions that are beyond textbooks. They're beyond another person's experience. Like, how can I find these experiences for myself? And so that's when I started working with thousands of years of karma and really understanding, like, wondering the big questions. I've always had a very challenging relationship with my mother. For me, one of my biggest questions on this planet was, why is she my mother? Why is she the one that is that I got paired up with? And this clairvoyant program offered me the answers to those questions. And not only offered me the answers, but offered me the ability to heal myself first. And it was extraordinarily challenging, that's for sure. But there's so much beauty in understanding the energy and the major questions of why. You know, why are we here? What are we doing here? why are the people in our lives the ones that are in our lives? And for me, that was where I found passion and solace, and I was just invigorated. I still am. It's the one topic in my life that I get so charged to talk about. I love it.
Well, that's amazing. All right, let me ask you a couple of questions now about how you help people. Number one, you're certified. You're a certified psychic and medium. You're based in Reno, the biggest little city in the world, which everybody knows about. But bottom line is, I know you work with people in person. Do you work with people on the telephone or on Skype, or is it all in person?
Yes, I do. I do all my work over the phone. I don't normally do Skype because my eyes are closed through the whole course of the reading, and so for me it's just a little comfortable to be over the phone. Yes.
Okay.
And so I do offer anything that I have. That's a beautiful bonus of working with spirit, is that as we're working with energy, the physical body, like physical bodies don't need to be in the same space. It's quite the opposite of massage, where for me it's actually easier for me to get clearer information and clearer understanding of a person if all I'm looking at is their spirit body.
Let me ask you then, what brings people to you? What are they looking for when they come to you for a reading, past life regression, or whatever it is, of the many things that you can do? Basically, that's the question. What are they looking for? What brings them to you?
I'd say I'd get three different kinds of clients. One, because I am a medium, I do get a lot of clients that have had loved ones that have passed that are looking for that piece of closure, that would like to talk to them, that would like to hear where they are at, that would help them through their grief process and helping to release and let go so that they can continue on with their lives and vice versa. And then I have an intuitive transformation program. And so with that program, I offer training to people that are interested in committing to shifting and changing the dynamics of things that are going on in their life that are holding them back, that are keeping them stuck, where they're unhappy or feeling unfulfilled. And that is a three-month program. And the reason I offer that as a three-month program is because transformation takes time. Making big decisions in your life takes time to change habits and realign different brain patterns and thinking structures. It all takes time. And so I've been seeing much better results with my clients who have been a part of the transformation program, who I see on a consistent basis. And then I also see people who are just experiencing a lot of pain, whether it be through divorce, loss of loved one, yes. I've worked a lot with parents who have had anger issues with their children. I also have people that just want to get gifts for friends or relatives. I'm always a little more wary about the gift-giving side because sometimes people experience and think that somebody else would absolutely love it. And the truth is, if you're not ready for this kind of work, you're not ready for it. And because it is so powerful, it is so incredibly impactful that one session can shift a lot for somebody. And if they're not ready for it, it just creates a whole other kind of world of struggle because they're trying to fight the change. They're trying to fight the energy that's moving, whether it be conscious or unconscious. And so that's where, for me, I always like to make sure, I like to have a phone call with somebody before we even start the reading to make sure that they're ready to experience the information that comes through.
Now that's worth exploring for a little bit. I'm as I said, I'm amazed by so much of this. But what kinds of things would someone learn that could shake their foundation so much? There could be so much, an awakening to them or shocking to them. Give me an example, some examples of people, not names or anything like that, but examples of things that have happened that has been so surprising to people.
Well, one, the foundation of my work that I hold true to is I often say that I'm a mirror. I'm here to be a reflection of yourself so you can see yourself more clearly. And that, it couldn't be more true in any circumstance. The experience of being seen by somebody else, to have your thought pattern seen, to have your emotion seen, to have your feelings seen and described back to you from somebody else that does not know you, that can see you more clearly and more honestly than you are capable of seeing yourself because you have blocks or because you have blinders or because you're not willing to be honest with yourself, mm-hmm. is where the shift starts to happen, because it's almost like pulling up the rug and seeing like how many years of stuff has been dusted under that. When so many people have just come over to your house, they see the rug, they don't even think to look or care to see on a deeper level. And so it's that level of vulnerability and being seen that allows people this safe container, this safe space to open up to see themselves more clearly. So it oftentimes isn't any information that I'm telling them about themselves that they don't already know, but it's about bringing it up. It's about talking about it. It's about bringing it into open communication. It's about healing. It's not just about talking about it. It's actually about, like, how can we actually look at this, heal the energy, release it from your life, release it from your patterns so that you can be free to choose consciously how you want to be rather than reacting to circumstances that are around you.
Okay.
And so that's where there's freedom. It's about being proactive. It's about taking responsibility for your life. It's about taking responsibility for your choices, for your actions, for your thoughts, for your job, for everything that you've created. And then what I do is I empower people to then find the strength within themselves to create the life that they want to live, that they find fulfilling, so that they can thrive. I truly believe in my heart of hearts that if we are living from our passion on purpose, then it gives everybody else around us permission to live through our passion. And when we're living through our passion, that's when our soul is speaking the loudest. And for me, that is my goal, is to get people living from their soul, living from their heart, in full excitement and exuberance for this life, rather than getting kind of stuck or trapped in their mind.
And when you talk about teaching transformation to clients and how it takes time to do that, what kind of things are you teaching? Are you trying to teach them to break the habits that they have, that they need to transform? Give some examples, you know, of people in that kind of situation who've come to you.
I've helped and coached several people through challenging relationships, whether it be through divorce or just breakup. And a lot of what I teach is tools of energetic awareness. So I start to with the foundations of how to understand energy, or how to read energy and how to see energy and how it affects people in a room. And then I also, from that, I will build off of that and teach communication strategies. I also teach people how to connect with their spirit guides and how to communicate with them on their own, how to work with healing guides as well, so that they can start to move through their own energy. I do some counseling and coaching with my background in psychology. I was trained in that, but what I really do is I focus on empowering the individual. I've always said that if I'm doing my job, if I'm doing my work correctly, or as best as I can, then I'm working off referrals, not lifetime clients. And I truly believe that. I do my best to arm and load my clients with as many tools and confidence so that they can go out there into the world and, you know, hopefully I'll get a call in 6 months to tell me how amazing they're doing and how well the tools have helped, which I get a lot. And it's what makes the work and the sacrifices that I've made in my life so, so worth it. It's incredibly rewarding.
Well, that makes sense. Let me ask you a little bit about, number one, what's the benefit of a past life regression, taking someone through that journey? How do you benefit from that?
Well, I used to do them just with the reading. I would read like two or three past lives. Now I only really read them if they come up, if they show up, because it's there's information or energy there that needs to be looked at to be cleared. It's almost like clearing karma. And so, like I said, it's not so much about the story as it is bringing the energy to the surface so it can be looked at and released. Otherwise, it just kind of stays dormant and still affects our unconscious behavior. An extreme example of that would be like a woman who has a phobia of choking, or like can't swallow pills, or you know, has to sleep with the light on because they're just so afraid. Oftentimes, that kind of fear, that kind of irrational fear, does come from a past life experience, or someone that's afraid to swim because they're afraid of drowning, or someone that's afraid to fly because they're afraid of plane crashes, but they've never been on a plane crash or they've never died themselves. Oftentimes, it's like how they have died in a past life. So bringing those memories back to recognize that, like, that's where they're at. But oftentimes when a spirit dies in fear, that fear gets encoded into their DNA. So when they come back into a lifetime, they have that information, that memory already locked in basically to the genetic coding. And so that's what they're operating off of. So oftentimes it's just that we need to bring awareness, basically shine a flashlight on it and clear it out. And so that's where there is an extreme benefit in looking at past lives, as well as relationships. Oftentimes, challenging relationships or emotionally, verbally, physically abusive relationships oftentimes come from past life experiences. So it also helps to look at the dynamics, like the relationship dynamics between the two and why it is the way that it is. And oftentimes we can clear a lot of energy just in one session of what is going on in that kind of relationship.
That's very good. Very, very good. It makes sense. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you explained it that way. It does make sense to me. By the way, when you do a session with somebody, what's a typical session like? You do all of this in an hour, or do you spend more time with people? What's the average?
I do an hour to 90 minutes. And typically, even if somebody has booked for an hour, oftentimes we go to the 90 minutes anyway because there's just so much information coming through, especially if it's their first reading. So I've almost started just adjusting to start with 90 minutes. And I used to have a program, this is what we do for the sessions, and then I just released all of that and allow whatever needs to come through for that particular client to come through. So I don't hold anything back. I do reading. I do healing. I do teaching. So I'll teach tools if they need tools. I'll heal the energy. I do work with archangels and ascended masters. I also work with their spirit guides. And so there's just always so much. It's never that there's not enough to speak about. It's just also like how much energy can we move in one session? Because there is, after doing a lot of energy work, sometimes you can start to feel a little bit cooked, and it's just because there's so much energy that has moved and cycled through that you're literally changing on a cellular level, so your physical body starts to feel tired. I personally, when I do my readings, I feel energized. I get a lot from them, from doing them.
I'm sure you do. Samantha, unfortunately, we are running out of time. I want to thank you so much. I want to make sure everybody knows we've been talking with Samantha Fay. She's based out in Reno, Nevada. Her website is SamanthaFay.com, and Fay is just spelled F-E. So go to that website. There's so much information there. You'll see some great pictures of Samantha. You'll learn more about her life, and it's fascinating. Thank you for taking the time to tell us about what you do. All right, Samantha, I've enjoyed this immensely. Thanks.
All right.
Okay?
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Okay. Now go feed your puppy.
All right, I will.
Okay,
thanks.
Good. All right. And that's it for now, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We thank you for being with us. Look up Samantha's website. It's pretty doggone. Hey, .com. See you next time. Have a great day wherever you are. Bye for now.